This episode's gonna have a lot of cursive.
And it's fucking elegant.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I am here with all of my amazing, fantastic, crazy friends that I have, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish
Show. Before we get started, we do need to announce that we have a very, very special show for you today because we are attempting to do something that we don't think has ever been attempted before, and that is to simultaneously record two different shows at the same time, and we're doing that by bringing on none other than the host of Drinks with Jess, which is the lovely Jess Branis. Jess, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. It's good to see you.
It's good to finally have you yet again back on Gay Talk because you've been on the show before and we had such a good time. We were like, we got to do something together.
So, absolutely.
First off, let's kick it off with Happy Memorial Day to everyone.
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day.
So that being said, we do need to acknowledge that we would like to give a shout out to the men and women who serve in our armed forces and also pay respects to those who have lost or paid the ultimate price for their service. So thank you for protecting our nation and thank you for allowing us the freedoms to do what we do on our show.
Yeah. No, I saw something earlier today that a lot of people are getting away from the true meaning of Veterans Day mm-hmm. and Memorial Day because, you know, normal people like me just have the day off and I'm going to enjoy my day off and we're going to barbecue and we're going to have a good time, but we're losing the point of the whole thing, mm-hmm. the respect for the people that have given their lives to let us have these barbecues and drink beer and enjoy each other, you know what I mean?
Which is why I thought it was very important to bring it to light and let people know that, you know, it's not all about barbecues and beer and drinking. Yes, that all that is good and fun, but there's a reason why we're able to celebrate and do that.
Right, and this is a holiday that goes back to, you know, the mid to later 1800s, where it used to be looked at as Decoration Day, and I believe it was the term Memorial Day was first used in 1882. And during Decoration Day, volunteers and veterans would go and place flags by the graves of those people who lost their lives in the U.S. Armed Forces. And on June 28th of 1968, Congress passed the law making it the national holiday on the Mondays, and they put it there specifically to have those three-day weekends. So that was something that we had been doing, and it, like you said, Veterans Day and Memorial Day are very different. You should always thank a veteran every day, but Memorial Day is really to look back on those people who put their lives out on the line and their lives were lost defending the freedoms that we have. So we can do something like this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always good to look back.
Absolutely. And we've been hanging out pretty much all afternoon and having all our a really good time. But I wanted to go over to our girlfriend Jess over there and ask her, what did you do today?
Let's see. My dog had a play date. And if you saw it on Facebook, I got him slow motion in the air.
I like
launching
that.
Off of her patio. Yeah. And tired him out so that way he would be quiet while we're doing this. And that was it. I mean, we kind of hung out and played some Boggle. I kicked her ass. And because I'm a words person. So, you know, that's my geekdom right there, playing Boggle every Saturday Monday when I have a day off.
You played Boggle with your dog?
Thank you.
No, I played Boggle with my best friend.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, I feel really like confused. There's a little gap when it comes to knowledge of spelling.
we drank a lot. We started early. We started at like 8:30 this morning.
Also with your dogs?
Yep. They were drinking too.
That's why you beat them in Boggle.
So speaking of drinks, we usually do a signature cocktail, but we wanted to take a break from the solid liquor and move on to something a little bit more refreshing for the summer, which is beer. But before we tell you what we are drinking, Jess, what did you have today? What did you enjoy?
Well, let's see. I drank a lot of vodka earlier and now I'm on Mandarin Orange Seltzer. Because otherwise I won't sleep tonight. So I had to lay off a little bit, but I have a feeling that in the middle of the night, I'm going to wake up with the sweats.
That's probably, you know, all of us.
That's gonna be fun.
That's us every half hour. And usually it's because we're jonesing for more liquor.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I make us sound like alcoholics.
You make it sound terrible. Yeah. You really make it sound terrible. Yeah, well,
I love the fact that you guys always have a signature cocktail. That's what turned me on to you guys in the first place, is the fact that I know that I'm not the only drunkard out there.
No.
I've always said that there's nothing better than a little bit of alcohol to loosen people up and really bring out the honesty in everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably why we love doing what we do, and why people resonate with it, because it just comes out. No control.
Why do you think first dates generally revolve around a bar or going to dinner so that you can order a drink you can loosen up and relax?
When on my first date with Ray, he showed up, and I found out like 4 months later that not only did he check my ID while I was gone to make sure I was not lying about my age, but he also had like 5 drinks before he came there. I'm like, bitch showed up drunk to our first fucking date.
Proud of him.
I was the sober one.
Have you guys ever gone on a first date where you didn't have a drink?
No.
I mean, I guess technically, me and Ian went, our first date was over coffee. But it wasn't, I wouldn't
like
really
Irish
consider
coffee?
That our first date. But it was, I guess, our 0.5 first date.
And I think it's worth mentioning that today, in studio, right next to us, we also have Ian, who happens to be Trish or Nick's boyfriend. And we're super excited to have him with us. He's not talking on the show, but he is listening in and enjoying the show with everyone else.
And he's very colorful right now.
And yes, he made us margarita jello shots.
And they're freaking amazing.
They're so good.
They're
so
delicious. And they've been cutting the gums of my lip all day from doing them. Do you guys ever get that?
No.
When you're like licking it? And it slices underneath your gum.
Lay off the coke.
There is no LCC here today, Tom.
Well, speaking of that, you know, summer is coming. No, I'm kidding. So let's talk about what we're having to drink. So I went out and bought a couple of different things. So I'm enjoying a Belgian white. It's called Shock Top. It's actually very delicious.
I was going to say, it's not as fancy as he's making it sound, though.
But it's delicious.
This is a Belgian wit.
Yes. And it was actually delicious. Really good. But we did also get another Belgian white, also known as Blue Moon, which is also very refreshing in the summer with
Blue
a nice...
Alone.
You saw me standing alone.
Without a something and something. Without a something and something.
Here, let me give you both $5 real
without
quick.
Without a cock in the hole. All right. No, and so we have Blue Moon, and if you pop in a nice little orange wedge, it gives it a very, very nice flavor. We also have your typical Coronas.
That's what I'm drinking.
Which gives me shits the next day.
Which is what Nick is enjoying. And then also, our friend Ian bought some Bud Light wine. So there's a lot of variety in this room right now.
Today.
And of course, we've been having a lot of shots, and we grilled, and we've had hot dogs and amazing burgers. Mm-hmm. And
it only took an hour on the grill to cook it.
I know.
And Tom took his grill apart, and he sent a picture, and he's like, all nice and clean for Chris to dirty it up again. We have the shit cranked on high, and it's getting to like 75 degrees. Like, I don't know what the hell you did hook back up, Tom.
Something's
done.
Yep.
I gotta plug it in or do something. It's either that or
it's
get
a gas grill. Why do you need to plug it in?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't push something in far enough or something.
At least Trish bought me a veggie burger. I'm not going to be the one eating raw meat today.
It's either that or I'm probably going to end up going and get me another grill. That's all.
Let's put it on the Gay Talk credit card.
That's right. No, and you know, but it was delicious, and we had homemade guacamole.
That's very good, though. I'll give it. We wait all fucking year for Tom to make his pico de gallo.
Yeah, so good.
You walk in the house, reeks of cilantro. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's delicious.
We ate the first.
You said it tastes like soap.
It does. Cilantro tastes like soap to me, but I do like it.
That's
but good. I don't like soap. Like, never liked soap when I was a little kid, getting squirt in my mouth from using bad words, but I like Tommy's cilantro in my mouth.
Okay.
So that whole thought together before I spoke. It's because I didn't have my Jameson shot before we started today. I'm a little on edge.
So Jess, darling, do you like guacamole?
I do. I love everything.
That a girl.
What's your favorite food to pick at, especially around the summertime?
Yeah. See, you know what? I love cheese and crackers. I feel like I always have like happy hour at my house when I get home from work.
We do that here.
And I always have cheese and crackers and a cocktail.
There you go. Well,
that's the way to go. Either cheese and crackers or wine. That goes good with wine.
No, those go awesome together.
Wine is definitely a necessity when I come home. But yeah, cheese and crackers. But you know, sometimes like now we're getting into summer, so it's all those tropical fruits. Like I love papaya, I love mango. Anything like that is going to cover my plate.
Mm, I just got an idea. I want to make a mango salsa.
Like, oh, you chunks, should
chunks of mango oh, in it.
Yeah,
you used to buy it, so you got to make it, and then we got to do grilled watermelon outside and do a salad with that.
I bought some watermelon today, by the way.
Well, then buy
after
a new grill.
After those watermelon mojitos.
Oh my god, so good. Wait. How do you grill watermelon?
You put it on the grill. You pull watermelon, you put it on a hot grill, and then it cooks it, and then you have grilled watermelon.
That seems weird. I didn't mean to sound like to a... Me.
It's Chris.
It's a thing, grilled watermelon, then you can pickle the rind. I like to get exciting with this stuff out
okay,
there.
Okay, Lord have mercy.
Well, Jess, it's also worth mentioning. So not only are we going to be doing our cross broadcast with Jess Brannis on her Drinks with Jess podcast, it's also worth noting that she also has another podcast which services the women of the LGBT community called the Dating Pool Podcast, which we encourage that you do check it out as well. It is a women's podcast, but I can tell you this. Trish and I listen to it. I listen to it all the time. I have gotten so much out of her podcast as a man. And, you know, she tends to, well, am I a man?
Yeah, I mean, like,
I don't know. I've gotten so much. So don't let the fact that it's geared towards the women of the LGBT community shy you away from listening to it, because there's a lot of really good stuff that you'll get from it. So,
are you guys still sleeping naked?
Yes.
Yes.
Good.
Unless people, if people are in my house, then I have clothes on. But if no one's here, I'm always naked.
He was trying to drape himself in some like shawl today.
It's a like sarong.
A sarong.
I'm naked all the time. I don't think there's anybody in the tri-state area who probably hasn't seen my ass yet.
Yes. See, we're only viewing her from like clavicle up, so I don't know what's really going on. It looks like a hoodie, but it could be like one of those Velcro tie things that you just clip on. So we don't know what's going on.
So how is everything going down in the Jersey side?
Everything's good down here. It's it's raining like hell today. I was hoping that it would be nicer out, but I mean everything is pretty even keeled down here, you know, as far as, you know, coming into summer, everybody's getting really excited. I'm excited to meet you guys. Hopefully I'll get to see you in DC at the March.
We're going to really have fun.
Oh my God. So many people from our area are coming down here, and it's such an important event to go to.
I agree.
That I hope that people from all over the country show up for it.
And it's worth noting, too, that if you cannot show up to the actual event that takes place in D.C., that a lot of local organizations are going to be, you know, coming together and observing that Pride March nationally from the home front. So look at, like, for example, Pride in the Park here in Norwalk will be doing some sort of Pride March event to sort of coincide with what's going on nationally in DC. I know LA's doing one. New York will probably end up doing something too. So look at your local organizations and figure out whether or not they're going to be doing something and come out on that day and support the national Pride March, because we need to send that message out there.
Yeah, if you can't make it to DC, you can still voice your pride and show your support for what we're all doing while we're going to be in DC. But that's really good to point out, Tom. That was nice. I didn't know anything about that.
So. In fact, Philadelphia Pride was supposed to be that day, and they pushed it back a week because so many people from the Philadelphia area and the New Jersey area are going down to Washington.
It's so close. I would totally go. So you recently went to, was it New Hope? Did they have some sort of festival? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so New Hope is an extreme LGBT community. Over decades, they've brought up artists and writers, and this is even though it's a small community, it's such a great distance between like Philadelphia and New York. So, so they start Pride early. So they did it last weekend. So they kick it off in May, and they have, you know, entertainment and parades and vendors and pool parties, and pretty much every restaurant and bar in the area is packed to capacity. And the one thing that I love about New Hope and the community is that there are so many allies there. So when you're marching down the street or when you're out, everybody's saying Happy Pride, like it's an international holiday. So that was really fun to go to. We had a lot of great guests on the show. I got to videotape everything. And yeah, it really is a great place to kick it off. And there's so much support from everybody in the community. I mean, granted, there are protesters everywhere. And yeah, there was like a little group of protesters. But I could tell you the police force there kept them at bay. So everybody else could enjoy. And I've never seen something like that before, as far as in the bigger cities celebrating Pride. There are many more protests that happen here. It was like it solidified in one tiny little section at the end of the street. And other than that, the whole town was having a great time. So I suggest that everybody, if you get a chance, if you're in this area, if you're in New Jersey, New York, if you ever get a chance to go to New Hope, even on a regular day, it's an amazing town with incredible people. Everybody's friendly. You feel like you're at home.
Yeah, it's like a little P-town away from P-town.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, all right. So listen, we're going to get into our dish because we do have a lot to cover before we jump into drinks with Jess, because we are going to be officially part of her show after our break. So we're going to kick off some stories. But yeah, fantastic. It's great. Check out your local organizations and find out where your Pride is happening and make sure that you go and attend. And now the dish. So speaking of LGBT community and everything, so Ben & Jerry's was in the news. I was looking through my feed and I found a story on Ben & Jerry's ice cream and where they have stores, much like, you know, some stores here. What are some of the stores that we have locally?
Well, I mean, like, it's an ice cream shop.
Yeah, like a little ice cream shop. And so they put out the statement out in Australia because, as we know, Australia really hasn't been up with the times as far as marriage equality and LGBT rights. And so Ben and Jerry got this idea and they said, you know, because they've been longtime supporters of the LGBT rights and in our movement, they decided to take a drastic step in highlighting the situation. So Aussies down under can't order two scoops of the same flavored ice cream until Australia passes marriage equality in that country. I thought that was pretty neat.
It is pretty cool.
So it's like, you know, you can't walk in and say, can I have two scoops of vanilla? They're going to look at you. No, you need to have one vanilla and one chocolate.
That's right.
Or one vanilla and one strawberry, or one vanilla and, you know. The point is, I just thought it was such a brilliant marketing idea, but not only because of what it's bringing light to. It makes the country have a conversation about.
It makes you think.
Yeah. And not only us, I mean, obviously we're exposed to it because some queer person in Australia said, oh, people need to know about this in our community and put it out there on Facebook. But think about what it does for the straight community in Australia and get them talking. Like, can you imagine a mother walking in with two little kids and be like, well, she just wants vanilla.
Well, she can get one
you
scoop
can get one
of one.
Scoop of vanilla.
And
that's about it.
So it creates a dialogue in a lot of spectrum, a lot of age groups. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just a fantastic idea. I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, I completely agree with you because what you get in ice cream shops generally, well, I mean, everybody goes, but you're right. You get a lot of families going in there. You get a lot of kids, a lot of moms, a lot of dads. And so you're not only getting out to the straight community, but you're branching into a younger community so that they're more heightened and aware of what's actually going on.
Which I think it's fantastic. Unless, you know, you can get your two different scoops of color and just add some sprinkles on it. Make sure they're rainbow.
I just need some chunky monkey.
What other flavors? Garcia, Cherry Garcia.
Cherry
is one
Garcia
of them.
For Jerry Garcia. The and, dead? And Willie Nelson's got like the peach cobbler one.
Oh.
Oh, that one's wicked good. And I have to like power through because I'm super lactose intolerant, but their ice cream is fucking awesome.
So Jess,
like, I got to commit like 3 days off after that.
See, I've always been a chocolate person, so to me, it's give me double
fudge.
You don't
branch out?
I do.
You would want double fudge.
Well, yeah, I get fudge with the little fudge pieces in it. It's so good. Or caramel. I can do a little bit of caramel in there. Or if it's sorbet, I can go for like passion fruit sorbets.
We're literally just talking about like your favorite ice cream flavors.
Yeah, we really are.
We have this globe captivated, loving our show. We're like, so I like sorbet, but when I have sorbet,
it's gotta be. Yeah. passion fruit. So no it's cool.
More power to you, Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's great.
Wait, is Ben and Jerry, are they gay? I think can we just, they're honorary. Can we just honorary make them gay today?
You're
just
gonna today, be honorary though. Gays to Ben and Jerry. Claps for them.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, so that's that. And Chris, you have a story.
All right. I want to hear a little bit more about your ice cream fantasies, Tom. Please. No, I'm kidding. I'm done hearing about fucking ice cream. Okay. All right. So. Well, we have some good, some hopeful news coming from Ireland. And if you guys remember, I forget the year it was. It was 2 years ago. Yeah. Ireland was the first nation in the world to legalize marriage equality by popular vote.
That's correct.
Where 62% of the voters in a nationwide referendum cast their ballots in favor of defining marriage as a legal union between two people, regardless of their gender. Like I said, they were the first nation in the world to do it by popular vote. You know, they didn't want to sit back and wait for the government to do it. We said, no, we are the Irish people, and we feel that everyone's entitled to this equality of marriage. So that was a huge hats off to them. Incredible. Now, on Friday, I believe, June 2nd, I believe falls on Friday, Ireland appears set to elect its first openly gay prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
So on Friday, Irish men and women will be heading to the polls, and if elected, he would also become the nation's first leader of Asian immigrant descent, and at the age of 38, he would be the youngest person to ever hold that office. And at that point in modern history, he would become the fourth world leader that's known as openly gay. Like, we'll get to the Prime Minister of Luxembourg. We'll get to a story about him. Obviously, he's gay. A former Belgian Prime Minister was also gay, and a former Icelandic Prime Minister was also gay. So
there's a lot of visibility right now with world leaders in high-ranking office in several governments around the world. And it's really, really, really amazing to see, because 15, 20 years ago, we would never think that something like that would even be possible.
The biggest thing was Harvey Milk.
Yeah.
I mean, Harvey Milk was one of the first openly gay men to hold a public office. I believe he was the first.
And he was also assassinated, for that, which was quite tragic and sad. And
which was last week was his birthday, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was. So, and we dedicated, we said happy birthday to Harvey. Actually, that was our opener.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
So. That was amazing. And so, you know, to the leaders of the world, we say, if you're an openly gay man, change the world and do something good for the rest of the community and for the rest of humanity.
Well, being
Let's educate humanity on how to be accepting and how to be, humans. Because when we start slapping each other with labels and letting religion dictate who we hate and who we love, that becomes an issue, and we need to move away from that. You know, we're not saying don't be religious, don't believe in your God. What we're saying is don't use religion as an excuse to hate and kill people.
Mm-hmm. And keep it at, church and state, they need to be separated.
You know, right now we have...
Trish has been preaching that since the founding fathers were fucking preaching that.
You know, we had this incident in Manchester, England, in where we had these bombings, which we didn't address that night of because things were developing and coming up, and we didn't want to put out misinformation. But the sad thing is that someone went and targeted an event in where the majority of the people that were there were youngsters, they were teenagers, and that was pretty alarming. That it happened. It has been one of the biggest terrorist attacks in England since 2005. That was the last time where they had an incident. I believe they blew something up in one of the tubes, the red tube, or the
underground. And they had a bombing in a bridge a couple of years back, too.
So, I mean, it's just pretty alarming, but it's also good to see that there's a lot of world leaders out there that are really stepping up to the plate and coming up and bringing visibility to our community.
Definitely. We also actually have a birthday today, since we were talking about birthdays. Today would have been John F. Kennedy's 100th birthday.
Wow.
Mm. It would have been, to this day, he would have been 100.
Do we know how old he was when he was assassinated?
I don't know.
Was it in his 50s? Can someone Google that? Well, because I'm like, curious now.
He was born in 1917, obviously. Okay. And he was assassinated in 1963. So I don't math because I've been drinking for hours now. So we'll let one of our listeners send us an email. Hans, is Swedish math the same?
He was 46.
I think that's like 46.
Okay. There you go. Look at you.
He was a very young man. He was a very elegant young man. And he was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of the first Catholic presidents we ever elected.
He was hot.
Yeah, he was. Well, Marilyn knew what she was doing. Happy birthday, Mr. President.
But, all right.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, a little bit.
Half of America thought so then, but they still revere her and see her as a sex god, so fuck them.
She is.
I loved Marilyn Monroe. I have a picture of her right when you walk in through my door.
I just stand over grates and let the air blow up.
So, Trish, you also have a story.
Well, yes.
A lot of international news.
Yeah, I mean...
So fucking hot in here.
That's because there's so much going on in the world.
Yeah,
exactly.
Chris talked about it earlier. Xavier Bettel, the Luxembourg prime minister, at the NATO conference, there was a photo that was taken with all of the first ladies or
spouses
of the gentleman in power. However, as Xavier is gay, his husband was in this photo. And it's just so amazing to see this man in this photo with all of these women standing strong and proud, being out and proud, and he's smiling and he's happy to do it. And it's like, it's so powerful to see that, because there are all of these women and there have always been these women standing in these positions, but he's doing the same thing that these women are doing. He's there, he's supporting his husband through probably the most intense time of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just being strong and proud about it. But what pisses me off is the White House posted a photo and tagged all of the women in the photo. However, they did not tag, I'm going to say his name wrong, Gauthier Destiny, who is the husband of Xavier. And that was changed after a couple of hours. But
it's like 9 hours after it was posted.
The Trump administration didn't tag the one male in the photo as a snub
sexist.
In a way.
Of course
it
was.
It's not sexist. It's homophobic. It's bullshit.
That too.
But I don't know. I just thought it was bullshit.
I thought it was a great picture. It would have been much better if they would have shoved Melania Trump behind him, and then it would have been fantastic. But that didn't happen. Yeah, I really think that would have really made the picture. But it's a beautiful picture. Listen, in this picture, you have women in long skirts, women in shorter skirts. You have a man in a suit. You have a woman that has a covering over her head. So you see a lot of diversity. You see a lot of different religions here. And this is a true representation of the many countries that are part of the NATO alliance.
And this is the first time you're seeing a man in one of these photos.
Exactly.
And that's amazing.
Exactly. And it's so great that he's sitting there and he is so proud because it is so iconic. Their marriage was the first gay marriage of any world leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just incredible. And he's sitting there and he's owning it. And he's proud to serve his husband, proud to serve Luxembourg, proud to serve NATO, the G7, and Europe and the globe. Like, he's just standing there and he's owning it.
Yeah,
someone was going to do something like that. You think Russia's over there like, oh, good for him. Like, good for him. Putin had him over for brunch and everything, no.
Fuck Russia. I'm talking about America. I mean, in what world in 2017 are we not going to acknowledge a world leader, an ally leader's significant other on the White House page?
The official webpage.
Like, that is such a slap in the face. I mean, it's just destroying relationships. And
that entire administration has been a slap in the face to the world, to their own country, to the U.S. of A., and to the world.
Yeah, and even, Trump...
I'm not surprised at this point what comes out of that White House.
And it's only, when Trump was going away for the G7 meetings and meeting with other NATO leaders, he left this disaster going on in the White House back home, but it didn't go away. He's coming back to it. And the European leaders were just so blown away by his ignorance
and his stupidity.
And Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, basically said, we can no longer rely on the U.S. alone. Like, it's time where we need to start being able to fend for ourselves. And it was very literal. She's like, we can't rely on...
put it past her.
Yeah, no. Well, she's a very strong woman. And, she's got an upcoming election, of course.
There's a meme coming or some sort of, video. I'm sure it'll be coming. But there was another video that was circulating Facebook, and where you see him literally coming from the back and pushing another like official out of the way to get to the front. And I'm like, what the heck?
Montenegro, the prime minister of Montenegro, he pushed him to the side.
I was like, are you serious? What kind of imbecile? What kind of buffoon are you? It's like, you could be just as effective in the back as you would in the front.
He had to move to the front. He shook his jacket.
Especially if you're verse.
It just makes America look so horrible having him stand there with all of these brilliant, strong, amazing people. And then he gets up there and gives a speech. And you literally see people like rolling their eyes like this fucking asshole.
Talking in their hands to each other. Yeah.
Like, America.
America. But, you know, it's interesting. I've been really trying to watch... As everyone knows, I'm addicted to fucking CNN. But I've been trying to like watch the other spectrum. So when I was watching Fox News,
sending nudes,
send me nudes.
They were playing it off as but they were like, it was comical. Like when he pushed the prime minister of Montenegro to the side, they were joking about it. I'm like, no, he just pushed him to the side, and he couldn't like even comprehend what just happened. Like he was just looking at him like, did you really just push me to get in front?
I love how you're trying to make light of a situation it's not comedic to push another world leader aside. Like
he just wanted to move to the front of the pack. Disaster. Mm. Disaster.
Girl, you have a couple more weeks, so.
I have to bring light to a couple of messages that we received from some of our subscribers really quick, because I thought that they were really cute, and I think we should put them out there because, you know, we love hearing from our peeps, and it's always wonderful. So this message came from one of our listeners. His name is David, and he goes, hey, guys, I am from Cromwell, Connecticut. Just wanted to start off by telling you guys how much I enjoy you guys as a show. I found you guys randomly on Google Play one day, and I listen almost every time I commute to work. Love the fact that you're in Connecticut and are always promoting the gay events in the state. It helps me forget about how boring Connecticut can actually be.
Meanwhile, earlier, Tommy was like, we haven't even talked about anything going on pride-wise in Connecticut, and it's June.
So, you know, he continues on to write, I was listening to your podcast when I heard that one of you guys had gone to Germany recently and had a great time. We recently, recently my boyfriend of 7 years and I have decided to go to Germany in September to hit Oktoberfest.
I'm going
to
be there.
And I couldn't be more excited. We took the plunge and bought tickets just last week. So we're setting it all up now. As far as European countries go, I know that Germany is pretty gay, but honestly wouldn't even know where to start in terms of having at it. So spots compared to the less urgent ones, basically what he's asking, Chris, since you've been the one to been to Germany before, where should he go in Germany and what should he do? So, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, right when you land into Munich, right when you're ready to go to a gay bar, get back on a plane and fly to Berlin. Because the gay scene in Munich is just not, I mean, Munich is a very, get out of a plane and go to Berlin. It's crazy up there. Munich is a lot of fun and I love that city and I want to go back all the time, but it's just not that exciting as a gay city. Even when I went there for Christopher Street Day, which is their gay pride, the second, like, following the last people in the pride march was like the street sweepers. Like, they were literally like, you guys are great, but we got to get this glitter picked up. Like, super conservative. Well, so they have gay bars, but enjoy Oktoberfest and we'll go and we'll have a couple steins of beer together.
Awesome. So, yeah, reach out to Chris. He's on Facebook and he's also, you can even send him a message here on Gay Talk as you did. And he can reply and you guys can hook up when you go to Oktoberfest.
Post.
And enjoy it.
Yeah,
we'll and who knows?
Pictures.
Maybe we'll all go.
No.
Take Gay Talk credit card.
Anyway, he wraps up his email by saying, either way, I really appreciate you taking the time to look through your emails. You guys are great to listen to, and I look forward to your next podcast. So he's probably going to enjoy the fact that we just, you know, threw him on it. So, David, thank you. We appreciate the message, and we appreciate the messages from all of our subscribers as we get them. Cursive is starting to kick
cursive.
In.
Cursive.
And it's fucking elegant.
So, I do have to point out, listen, if anyone who's listening on our live stream would like to call us and ask us questions or even ask our guest co-host as well from Drinks with Jess Brannis, you can call us by calling 334-429-8255. That's 334-GAY-TALK. So, that being said... I think I have one more story. Is that okay before we do Angels and Assholes?
I always do it to you.
I know. Gonna say.
Well, it's actually not a story. It's another message from another subscriber. So
it's not a story at all.
It looks like we hit the jackpot with David. So we have another David. Hopefully this is not the same one.
It probably.
All right. So actually, let me double check before I go through this. But,
got it right here.
Yeah. Doesn't look like it's... Okay. All right. So David says, hello, gentlemen. I travel for work and my territory is pretty wide. I go from New Hampshire to Mass, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, and New Jersey.
I was so wondering if you were going to get all those the state abbreviations right. And I was going to wait to call you out. I was so waiting for you to be like, MA, that's got to be Maine.
No. I have but only lived in the Northeast over 35 years.
I know, but whenever there's a chance where you can mess something up and Trish and I can call you out on it, you know we go after it, Uncle Tommy.
This bitch.
But either way, suffice it is to say I got tired of music, and so I decided to search podcast. As a gay man, naturally, I searched gay. And guess who came up? Well, I just wanted to tell you that I have had a complete blast listening to you guys and trolling your episodes. You're funny, sincere, real, and sometimes serious. You're all a perfect blend. After listening to so many episodes, I feel like I'm sitting around the room with you all. I get so involved in your conversations. I get angry with you. I get moved along with you, and I laugh like crazy too. I actually got caught up cracking up listening to you guys at a stoplight, and people in Wallingford were looking at me like I was crazy. So thank you for representing our community the way that you do, and you've made a very, very, very long drive quite entertaining. Big hugs, David. So to our other David, thank you for reaching out to us. We love hearing from our subscribers.
Yeah, it's always amazing to like feel like we know what we're doing, slash make people feel like they're enjoying it.
I know. It's
because
great.
Half the time I sit down and I'm like, oh God, I don't know what's going to happen today.
But you know what? We make it work. And one way or another, we always pull it out of the bag.
For everybody that listens to our show, I want you to know we go on break. And when we go on break, me and Chris will walk out to the porch and we'll have a cigarette and we'll both look at each other and we'll be like, what do you think? Not good? Is this a good show? How are we feeling? And sometimes I'm like, yeah, no, this is great. And sometimes Chris feels that way. But, you know, we're always like, we don't know. So I'm glad that you guys are enjoying it, even though we sometimes feel like a hot mess.
We have no idea. I'm surprised I haven't put a fucking seatbelt on my chair here because I need to buckle up once you hit record.
I need a parachute, for Christ's sake.
Oh, she wants to jump off the second floor balcony. All right, so I think we should jump into Angels and Assholes, and then...
two more left.
Then we got Drinks with Jess when we come back from break. We're super excited. All right, so let me give Trish some love.
Thank you, Tom.
I have a new setup here, so I have to do this over here.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. The following senators have been chosen to be our honorary assholes. Roger Wicker and Kames Reesh. Why,
I think it's
ask?
James.
Oh. I thought it was James, but then I was like, I'm going to read what Tommy wrote.
It's a typo.
James Reesh. Why, you ask?
Why?
Why, Kames? These senators signed a letter asking the White House to sign an executive order defending religious freedom that would allow for discrimination against LGBTQ individuals. For their actions, we label them assholes.
All right, and we would like to dedicate this episode to Luis Daniel Wilson Leon. He was 37 years old. Luis Daniel was a faithful friend, willing to help others, even if he himself was shy and reserved. Friends say if he didn't know you, he would be shy. But if he knew you, he would literally, like, be the friendliest person that you would ever meet. He met his lover, Jean Carlos Mendez Perez, while buying a bottle of cologne, Declaration by Cartier, who we actually dedicated an episode to previously. The two hit it off instantly and hung out and eventually moved in together. In the early hours of Sunday morning on June 12th, Wilson Leon was again with Perez. They posted 6 pictures on Facebook with a caption saying, having a really good time at Pulse. Sadly, both lost their lives that evening in that tragic shooting that occurred at that nightclub that night. We would like to dedicate this episode to him and his lover, Luis Daniel Wilson Leon. May he rest in peace. We're going to take a quick break. This is Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. Melissa Etheridge. And my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win. A
skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now? When there's no one left but you. Who are you gonna gun down? If you can't kill the truth, that it's inside of us. It's inside our blood. It's inside our pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
So you say this is human. Heartbeat versus mine. I'm in chains cause I'm choosing. Showing love or living life. I shouldn't have to leave where I stand. I shouldn't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Oh, feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse. Oh, I wish I could reach them. Strip away or separate. It's the same air we're breathing. Same tears run down our face. So I don't have to leave where I stand. And I don't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse. Yours, feel my pulse.
same as you are, so just feel my pulse. Just see that we're human. Feel my pulse. Just see that we're human.
All right, and welcome back from the break. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge, Feel My Pulse by Eli Lieb and Brandon Ski, and Loud by Davis Mallory. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Drinks with Jess.
Everyone, welcome to the Drinks with Jess podcast. This is Jess Brannis, your host. This is where we bring the LGBT community and its allies together to share in each other's missions and help each other grow. And tonight is a first because I am joining forces with the guys from Gay Talk 2.0. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day.
This is so exciting. This is the first time, I believe, that any show has done this, where we mix a podcast and a live show at the same time. How do you guys feel about it?
You know, when Nick came to me with the idea of it, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Okay, but how are we going to logistically do this? And so we were bouncing ideas back and forth. You and Nick were talking for quite a bit in details about how we would do this. And
then we all got together early and we're like, how are we going to do this?
And we make it work. So, I mean, for your listeners, whoever's listening, my name is Tom, and I'm one of the hosts for Gay Talk. And then we also have...
Hi, it's Nick or Trish.
And I'm Chris, and with enough margarita jello shots, anything is possible.
Absolutely.
There you go. So, now, Nick, I have to ask you, before we get into the nitty-gritty, and for all the listeners out there, you are seeing this hopefully on YouTube. I have cameras set up everywhere, but you are only seeing the Drinks with Jess podcast on YouTube. However, the guys are joining me, so you'll see them too. But if you want to listen to both of our shows mixed, it will be on iTunes and Mixcloud for my listeners, so you guys can go on there. But Nick, why is it Nick or Trish? I've always wanted to know this. Like, every time I hear you, I'm like, Nick or Trish?
I feel like this has been talked about like nine so many times.
Yes.
I love it.
So, we're all bartenders and we all work at a local gay bar, and we all decided to give each other girl names at some point, and they gave me the name of Trish, and I hated it so much, of course it stuck. So no one else goes by their lady name except for me. So it just kind of, it's my alter ego for the podcast.
Yeah. What's your name, Tom?
Mine is Agnes.
Seriously, Agnes?
Yes.
And Chris?
I'm just Chris. I wasn't there at that time.
Yeah, he wasn't part of the group.
That way. We're going to keep it that way.
I don't know. I'm feeling the name Martha.
Martha?
Oh, what's the other one? Gunther or something like that. something German. What's a German?
What about like Beatrice?
Helga.
Beatrice?
Oh, Beatrice. I like Beatrice. Gretel. I think we can call you Inga. Yeah.
Inga.
I like Inga. Oh, Lord, okay. Have mercy. Inga. Okay.
Well, I want a guy name then.
Okay. Mm.
Okay. If I were to see you walking down the street and I didn't know that you were Jess Brannis, I would probably think you were a maybe Salvatore.
A Salvatore?
Salvatore. Mm-hmm. I should put on like a wife beater.
Oh, totally.
Yes, with a big necklace.
Gaudy gold. Gaudy gold.
I could also get down with a Tyler.
Tyler.
Yeah, I think it's a hair. I can see a Tyler.
Yeah, I think so too.
I can see a Tyler. Yeah.
I don't know. I like Salvatore. I think I'll go
back. Salvatore it is.
I'll just call my friend Jimmy the Snake and go play some dice on the corner.
Exactly.
In South Philadelphia. That's what I'll do. But with you guys and for all the listeners out there, this happens to be one of my, if not my favorite podcast to listen to, because you guys, not only are you hysterical, but you guys also shed light on so many things that people don't know about. I mean, Chris, you being the CNN junkie, I've never heard so many international stories on another show that relate to our community. So how did you guys formulate this entire show? Because you have different segments. You have Angels and Assholes, which I love. You did something on vocabulary the other day I was listening to. You have The Dish. I mean, so where do all these come from?
Well, I mean, I think The Dish was something that was conceived from the beginning. We all got together and said, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? And for us, we were like, all we do is just sit around the table, drink and talk. So there's our dish. And so that's how The Dish was born. And then as far as content goes, we knew that it would be very difficult to specialize each episode to a specific type of content, and we tried doing that during our first episodes for like the first 10 weeks, and we were like, yeah, this is not going to work. We just need to stick to something that's current, something that's happening, maybe that happened in the past 4 days, so that it's fresh in people's minds and we're able to disseminate it and make it, you know, relatable and fun.
Yeah.
And
I think I like to think of us, and I've said this often on the show, like the gay view. If you've ever watched The View, that's how I feel. I feel like we sit around and talk about current subjects all the time. Why not just put it on the air and add our twist to it?
Mm-hmm. And it was fun. And, you know, then as far as our segment Angels and Assholes, which, by the way, that segment concludes next week, and I'm super sad about it because
it's been with us for so long.
It has. Angels and Assholes was born as a result of what occurred at Club Pulse in Orlando, Florida on June 12th last year. It's going to be a year in a week since that tragedy occurred. When it happened, we did an entire episode where we read each of the names of every single victim that died that day. And when we were done with that episode, after we were done crying and just really trying to come to terms with what that meant for our community, we were like, we need to do something else. Mm-hmm. And we need to talk about what's not happening in Washington, D.C. And so that's where the term angels and assholes came out. We decided that we were going to dedicate one episode to every single person that perished that day. And then we were going to burn senators or people who voted against sensible gun control reform.
That's a really harsh word, burn. But I love it.
Honey, if it was the 1800s, I think it'd be adequate.
Oh, absolutely.
Or maybe the 1500s.
Now, the great part about what you guys do and what I particularly love about you guys is that you actually research everything. I mean, you have so much detail. I mean, from every show that I've listened to so far, you go into so much behind the scenes detail with every story. I mean, you know your laws, you know your names. I mean, well, does it take a lot to get all that material out or what?
Well, a lot of it, I mean, with me personally, I like to put it off to the very last minute. Like we really try, because you know that we record live at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. So I try to do my research as close to production as possible so we can get some of the most up-to-date news. And what you were saying with the international side of it, like I always was very fascinated with stuff going on across the globe. So I was branching off with that. And then when we learned we had so many listeners from across the globe, we wanted to really reach out and make it one global LGBT community and with its friends and allies. But then I was learning so much personally that we kind of realized we can teach each other. We can teach people in the United States that don't know any of these things going on across the entire the world. So that's why we really branch out to reach every corner of the earth.
Yeah. And also, just in discussion, we teach each other all the time. There are plenty of times when you're speaking or Tommy's speaking, and I'll be like, I didn't know that was the case. And then it like flips my perspective on something.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's great about the conversations that we have.
And as far as our international coverage, too, we tend to stick to a lot of things that happen nationally here in the U.S. And we had a listener, actually, that brought that to our attention and said, you know, I love that you guys cover what you cover. I wish that you did a little bit more international. And when that happened, the light bulb went off and said, yeah, we need to really start branching out of our box.
I believe he was from Lebanon and he was studying in Cyprus.
Yes.
And he sent us an email. And after that point, that's really when we were focusing on, let's cover the globe. We have people listening that want to, you know, they want to feel relevant, and then they also want to learn from other places. So that's why we really dug into that.
Right. In fact, I didn't even know about, and for those of you who did not get to listen yet, go and listen to the first half of the show when it's the guys of Gay Talk 2.0 doing their show. But I didn't even know about that picture with Xavier's husband that you had mentioned. And, you know, when you have a group of people such as yourselves bringing all of this to light, it really does show who we can count on for that support, because I think you guys put it out there so much that many times people in our community don't even realize how much support they do have. And it's a shame that with our administration right now, we're not gaining access to that. And you guys really do bring it out. And speaking of which, since it is your last or coming up to your last week of Angels and Assholes, and I really do love this segment. You know, this was also the end of the season of Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you guys are big Saturday Night Live watchers.
I watch occasionally when it gets controversial and you have people like Melissa McCarthy doing fantastic
work. That's
exactly
what I was getting at. Yes. They're probably like, their eyes are probably like popping out of their heads right now knowing that the season's over. Because what are your thoughts on how they've demonstrated what's going on now and the figures that we are seeing, especially you, Chris, the CNN watcher. I mean, I'm sure you see Sean Spicer on there all the time. I want to know what you guys really think is going on with this administration and why we're not seeing the support. Because before this whole election, before Trump was even in, I mean, being in the public eye, being a, and I'm going to put it in quotes, celebrity, even though I don't really think he is one, you know, he came across everybody in the LGBT community. So why is it now that he has changed his tune so harshly? Like not even, it's kind of like going from winter to summer with no spring. Like there was no transition. It was one day he was, I guess, okay with things. And the next day he's just totally blasphemous about it.
Well, one thing you need to realize with Trump is you can't watch what he says. You have to watch what he does. And a lot
I don't want to watch him at all. That man.
Yeah. Well, no one ever does. But what I mean by that is that you have to watch the people he surrounds himself
right.
with because
right.
Donald Trump is impressionable. He's impressionable and he's very, very erratic in the sense that he will let people dictate what he should do. I wouldn't be surprised if the people running the show would be like the Jared Kushners or the Steve Bannons and
Mike
you know,
Pence.
The Mike Pences running the show for him. They say, this is what I think you should do. And he would look at them and say, yeah, I think you're right. And then he just goes with it.
He's also highly, highly aware of his ego and he wants so badly to be liked and approved by everybody. And since he is surrounding himself with these people, he's making decisions to support what they believe in. And on top of that, you have Hillary, who ran on a campaign of Stronger Together. And you had Trump running on a campaign and prescribing to a demographic of white supremacists and people that aren't as educated as your coastal voters. And so they're a lot more bigoted because they're not educated or surrounded by the gay community. And that's why I keep saying the biggest thing that the gay community can do is be visible, whether it's just you being out and proud, because that's showing everybody around you that we're just like you. I think a lot of it had to do with the demographic that he was running with, you know?
Right. And what type of thing do you guys think needs to change within our community, not just coming together, but really enable us to get out there and put that message out there? Because again, you guys are on the forefront of it with all of your listeners and all the commentary that you do. So what is it that we can all do, all the listeners out there, everybody in the LGBT community, all the allies, to show and to gain speed against an administration like this?
Celebrate with pride.
Yep.
And make sure that you go out. Go to every organized event that we have in our communities and show yourself. Be visible. We have a National Pride March coming up on June 11th. Be there. And if you can't be at the National Pride March on June 11th in Washington, D.C., you go to your local Pride organization or your local Pride Center and you show yourself and show your support in solidarity for what we're trying to do as a nation. We need to let this administration know that we are not a community to play with. We're not going to sit by and stand idly while you destroy this country and think that we're not going to have a voice.
And two, I think another huge thing is to I know as a gay man that I face a lot of fear in my life when I just from day to day meeting new people, you don't know how they're going to interact with you. You need to allow yourself to embrace that fear and have that conversation, because if you don't embrace the fear and have the conversation, then you're never going to teach somebody and open their mind enough to know who you are and who we are as a community.
Right. Of course. Would you guys ever consider, God, I love talking to you guys. You're so cute. but would you ever consider having somebody from the other side of the table, the other opinion on just to see.
We've talked about it several times, and I've
been wanting to bring on two people for one episode. I find it really interesting how there are people that were supportive of Donald Trump and still to this day are clinging on, and they will back him no matter, like, you know, if he shits in the street, it's got to be worshipped. Like, they don't.
Let him talk to Schmo.
Yeah.
He shits in his backyard.
I know.
Gotta love that man.
And also with the so bring on someone that's that was a diehard Trump supporter and still believes in this man. And then I also want to bring on someone, because I have a couple candidates, someone who supported Donald Trump, and now with the Russian rhetoric and all the things that are going on and coming to light with, if there was influence, if there was collusion, his work with climate change and not keeping up with the promises that he had throughout his campaign is now starting to waver against the Trump administration. And I think that we need to bring them on, because we really need to, you know, like you said, what is something that we as a community can do? And it's something that we can try to start looking a little more unbiasedly. Because there are so many people who will just lash out against Republicans who are like, you know, Republicans are Republican, they're evil. We have to hate them right from the beginning, you know, not knowing that there's moderate Republicans and then there's the hardcore conservatives. But I think we need to open our eyes. And like, if you're following news like I do, you know, every now and then go to the other side, watch mm-hmm. something, get their perspective. You don't have to say that, you know, they can be bigots and they can get away with this racism and hatred, but you want to like just maybe look at it at the other point of view and just try to understand where the person's coming from. And that's what I think is very important.
I think sometimes that we, you know, if you're liberal, we can also be just as bigoted, because if we're pushing aside that party and their opinion, saying they're wrong, fuck them, you know, we're kind of doing the same thing.
Right. Then there's no difference there.
Right. We just want to claim that we're right. So with you guys, because we are going to wrap up and we're going to let you get back to your side of the show. And for all of you out there, we're going to make sure that their entire show with this in the middle is all included on iTunes and Mixcloud. But guys, I do a new segment now called The Shot of the Week. And this is where we take an individual or an organization that is striving and doing good things for the LGBT community, whether it's local, national, or international. I start on a local level, but I want you guys to actually dictate who the shot of the week goes to. I'm giving it to you.
Oh.
Do you want to take it?
I mean, if you have somebody off the top of your head, feel free.
I do. I have someone on the top of my head that recently made a statement and a speech that was very arousing and amazing. And Deborah Messing needs to be recognized for what she has done and always continues to do for the LGBT community.
I think that's awesome.
So yes,
I think that's awesome.
Deborah Messing.
Okay, yeah. she's gonna get it.
And Will and Grace is coming back.
I
cannot wait, because you'll be able to see Deborah Messing. You're gonna be able to see all of the characters: Jack, Will, Grace. You know,
Karen,
my favorite. And the bottle of vodka will make an appearance.
And with Deborah Messing, like you said, what's something that we as a community can do different? She, when she was standing on stage giving the acceptance speech, you know, we put these officials, we elected them, we put them in office. Something that you can do, all of us can do, call them. Leave messages. She gave the number out. I was trying to find it. I couldn't get it. Call your elected officials and speak your mind to them. Let them know that we put you in office and this is how we feel and we want you to support us. That's something we can all do.
Absolutely. It just takes the stroke of a key or the stroke of anything else, I'm sure, to get to a politician. So,
Trish,
but with, I know, seriously. But with that, everybody, go on to dwjphl.com so you can get all the information and all the links to this episode and everything else. And the guys of Gay Talk 2.0, I'm going to have all your links up there as well. I want to thank everybody for listening. And I love this joining forces, guys. This has really been like a cool experience for all of us. Hopefully all the videos come out and and everything's set to go for tomorrow morning from my end.
Yes, queen.
Well, we certainly appreciate your invite in allowing us to be a part of your show and for coming on our show and being a part of ours, because we love you and we love the community that we're building with our fellow podcasters. So
awesome. So guys, stay tuned. They are coming right back with more Gay Talk 2.0. Have a good night.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the amazing Jess Brannis. Welcome back to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. She is absolutely incredible. We are super, 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 excited that she took the time to be with us and share in her experience of the show. And now we have a couple of more stories that we want to talk about to wrap up our segment in our show. And
I forgot we still had a show to do.
Well, that was good. All right. But, you know, that was so much fun. Like, I was really worried about the whole cross-broadcasting thing, but that worked out great.
No, it was. It was super great. She's great. I love what she does with her Drinks with Jess podcast. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of what I love most about Drinks with Jess is that we sit in our studio and we do our show. She will record a portion of her show letting you know what she's going to be talking about during the week, but she takes her show out into the community. Mm-hmm. You'll hear her when she goes out into like the bars and sits with some of her guests, and they're going at it, you know, with drinks, and it's just amazing to see how inclusive that community down in the Philly and the, you know, Jersey area are, and how she really involves herself with her community.
Mm-hmm. And
guys, you're making me blush.
Yeah. Oh, she's still here.
She's still here. I was going to say, one of the things I love about Jess is her wittiness, and I'm like over here sweating. I'm like, I know she's going to turn it on us at one point. I have to come up with something right on the spot. It's not in my notes. Do not compute. Like, I didn't.
Well, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? We are what we are, and we are the group of people that we are because we stay together, stick together, mm-hmm. and have great conversations together. So we still have a couple of more stories. Nick, I know you had one that we need to talk about because this – we need to burn this guy.
Oh, I thought I was like,
what Milo?
Yes, we need
fuck
to
– fuck her.
Fuck her.
I don't know. My biggest thing right now is why is he still relevant and why is anybody giving that motherfucker a platform?
Well, we're kind of doing it right now, actually.
Well, I know because yeah. I love slamming people. But, but like, let's be honest here. Like, the only reason you're still relevant is because people hate you.
Yeah.
People fucking hate you.
That is crazy.
So after the whole terrorist attack in Manchester, where how many people was it? 22 died and 58 injured?
Yeah. I don't know the injured offhand.
I'm sorry if I didn't get those numbers right. But he went ahead and attacked Ariana Grande. And how fucking dare you attack somebody who was literally just there to perform for these kids when really we should be looking to fix the terrorist issue. This is not her fault in any way. And what she actually did was come out and say that she will do anything in her power to support the victims.
I believe
and
there
pay
was something
for their funerals.
Yeah. Right.
And so she's done everything right. And yes, I don't know if it was about a year ago, she went on and she had she licked a donut. And she said, "I hate being American," but and it came out after the fact that she was actually talking about the fact that she hates the fact that America feels though they can eat whatever they want and they don't care about health or their bodies. Mm-hmm. That's what she was referring to.
Yeah, she said that it was taken out of context.
But exactly. Let's face it. Look at today. I'm embarrassed to be an American with what we have in our White House today. So, I mean,
well, yeah, embarrassed, in a sense, embarrassed to be an American is one thing, but she came out and she said that she loves being an American.
Mm-hmm.
But what Milo did was he went on and said, that she's pro-immigrant, pro-Islam, anti-America. And you know what? I hope she's pro-immigrant because I'm pro-immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she's pro-Islam because I'm pro-Islam.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why are we attacking these marginalized people when we should be supporting them? And she's not anti-American. You're an asshole, Milo.
Right.
So that being said, this is me slamming Milo. Go fuck yourself.
Thank you.
And even after the attack in Manchester, there was a large group of the Muslim community that took to the streets in protest of this. And they're saying that, and it's important for people of the Muslim community. It really is at this time. We're in dire times right now. It's important for people of those communities to go out and voice their hatred for these extremists who are tearing families apart, tearing lives away, like to show that this is not us. This is not Muslim. This is not Islam. Mm-hmm. This is not what we stand for. We stand for love and acceptance, but
this is a hate group. This is a terrorist act.
Yeah, I read somewhere in the Independent UK that there was a group of Muslim men who drove taxis where they were running around the streets in the vicinity of where this occurred, giving people free rides so that they could get home. Just to sort of kind of soften that unnecessary image tarnishment that's going on right now because it's like you got to understand that some sick individual does something and not everyone has to pay for that. An entire religion could not possibly be what these people claim they are. And it's sad to see that, we still have to address that today.
And if you want to talk about terrorism and killing for your religion, let's take a stroll back in history because Christianity has killed more people than Islam ever had.
The Crusades. The Crusades got rid of thousands and thousands and thousands of people in just a demographic area. When you look at the impact that they had all over the entire, the entire Roman Empire, it was insane.
Yeah. So
all in the name of religion.
Mm-hmm. In the name of God. How dare you kill somebody in the name of God?
A pope wanted power.
Yeah. Who gives anybody the right to kill somebody in the name of God? But anyway, getting off topic.
And speaking of pope, these memes going around with Pope Francis's face and how just straight, like, serious he is next to all these smiling buffoons that he's got next to them. Epic. I fucking love them. Keep them coming because I laugh every time I see them.
I like the one where he was slapping away Trump's hand.
I think that was totally fabricated because obviously
it was.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Pope, meanwhile,
in Canada!
I did have one. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to bring it up, but obviously with the past G7 meeting, Donald Trump, of course, like we just said. Yeah, and it's fucking elegant, okay? Yes, it's elegant. So we know that the president, President Trump, met with the Pope, but also Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, also met with the Pope. And he actually asked for Pope Francis to deliver a formal apology to Canada because of the Catholic Church's role in taking the Indigenous people of Canada and forcing them into, like, Catholic schools where numerous amounts of physical and sexual abuse took place. So he's actually calling the Pope to come to Canada and officially apologize on behalf of the Catholic faith, or the Catholic Church, for the horrors that, that they did by tearing these people from their community and trying to, as a crusade, convert them to Catholicism. And their young children went through so much hell.
That man has balls.
That happened. I love him. Well, love he Justin probably Trudeau. Does have a set of balls. But
keep it classy, still. Tom.
Do
keep
we know
it classy.
What came from
I could
that, though?
Never like, keep was... it classy when it comes to Justin Trudeau. He's man is hot.
He is hot.
He is. He's but beautiful. There was no answer to that as of now. But they're thinking maybe he can show up in Canada next year. The article just left it at that.
I would love to follow up on that at some point.
No, oh, I will be following that. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee okay. that. It was funny, though, seeing when they were first meeting at the G7 meeting, and Justin Trudeau was sitting there all like, one, he's the only world leader who was smiling in all the pictures. Like, he's like, oh, well, you guys accepted me from Canada here.
He's
like,
a big cheese ball.
He was loving it. I mean, Angela Merkel, she attempts to smile, but it never looks pleasing. Like, it's just like a... I love you, Angie, but the smile's not really there. But Justin Trudeau was like the most bubbly, happy to be with everyone kind of guy, and I was just like... You go get
Did you
him.
See the photos of him and the French Prime Minister?
Yeah, Macron, yeah.
Where they were like they're having a love, having like, yeah, their bromance. Oh, it was so cute.
You know what? It's because he misses Obama. He's like, I'm going to bromance with that hot mess. I'm going to go to Macron over here. He's the handsome one, at least.
Oh, he's gorgeous, that man. They're both gorgeous. Uh-huh. I think they're both gorgeous. France did amazing. And of course, you know, nothing. Canada could never do any wrong. So, well.
Knock on wood.
Not now. Well. Give me your head. So anyway, so let's go from we're going from Canada. Let's go back to California for a minute. I have a very, very weird, interesting story all the way from California. So according to the Mirror UK, there's a story of a woman who actually marries.
Oh, this one.
in a symbolic way, she marries a train station that she claims that she fell in love with.
Wasn't that in New Mexico?
No, it's in... Santa Fe, California? Yeah, because the train station itself, it's in Santa Fe train station.
I did not think it was in California.
So,
whatever, continue the story.
So she says, her name is Carol. Santa Fe says, being attracted.
What is happening?
Oh, it's the video from this thing. Sorry. Anyway, so she has loved. She has had. Okay, so it says a woman marries train station she's loved for 36 years and literally has sex with it mentally. Okay, so I need to talk about this. How do you have sex with a train station mentally? Because I need to figure that shit out. Because I've been on the dry end of the stick recently, and I need to figure out how to have sex with literally with any object. I want to have sex with that plant. So someone needs to teach me. What the fuck is she doing right?
That's what a lesbian's for. We could teach you how to have sex with anything.
Well, Jess, if you have the magic, you know, the antidote to that, or the answer to that question, please let me know, because daddy's dry over here.
I will let you know in private, sweetheart.
Now it's
That's
really
a whole other show.
Now it's really bothering me. Santa Fe, is there one in California? Because Santa Fe is definitely
Santa Fe
New Mexico.
Springs is in California. Okay, okay. Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, wait, Santa Fe is New Mexico.
I don't know which.
At the end of the day, a woman married a train station.
Well, at a place who cares in where Santa
it is?
Fe.
Who cares where it is? Yeah.
It's well, basically, her last name is Santa Fe, and I'm thinking she took the train station's last name.
Oh my god!
We need to move the fuck on. Either way, that seatbelt I told you about earlier.
Yeah. No. Either way, it's just basically okay. It's Carol Santa Fe at the Santa Fe train station. That's what it's called. And she married it, and it's in San Diego, California.
There you go.
So anyway, she travels a long way, literally, to get to that train station and make love to it mentally.
Well, I'm wondering how the train station feels about it, because I can't, you can't object, because...
Yeah, right?
I can't. Yeah, I just don't get it. I was like, all right. No,
like, is this going to be an ugly divorce? Like, how is this going to go down?
She identifies it as an objectum sexual. I, you know what? Bravo to the person who had to write this shit, because this is just fucking crazy. I was like, wow. But I thought it was something fun to bring up to it. And then, you know, if you go to the website, maybe I'll post a link on our post so that you can go and see the article. She literally has pictures of it, like laying against it and hugging it and actually kissing it.
This woman identifies as an objectum sexual, which is an attraction to inanimate objects.
Well, Lord. You know what, guys? It's not out of the ordinary, and I can tell you why. My first dog, Bowman, and he was just like Nacho, but he had apparently a sexual relationship with a pillow. That was his thing. So why can't people do the same thing?
Okay.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, they don't know any different. I mean, as a human, she should know differently, but gets you off.
I know a couple of dogs that will hump anything. A leg, yeah. A shoe, a fucking pillow.
And I'm sure if somebody's hard up enough that they will hump anything too, like a train station.
Exactly. We're taking this shit to the Supreme Court. Get ready, Neil
Gorsuch.
Like,
there's like a good corner somewhere, a good like, you know, round edge somewhere. Who knows?
I just thought that was cute.
We're going to all find Tommy at Union Station.
I'm going to be making love to the pillar. I'd be like, you are my pillar, and I love you, and you are going to be my daddy.
You know, if she's happy, I support her.
Exactly. Good for her.
To each their own.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what else we got, boys?
Well, our very own, I miss him.
Uncle Joe.
So Joe Biden married another gay couple.
I love this man.
So the former vice president officiated a wedding this weekend to another same-sex couple, Henry Muniz and Kyle Ferreira. They were married.
Say that last name again. Henry
Muniz?
Munoz.
That's not a word.
Tommy.
Okay. All right. Y'all call me out on shit all the time. Payback.
Sorry, how do I pronounce it?
Munoz. Munoz.
Oh, my God.
Okay, anyway. So, sorry if I'm pronouncing your names wrong. I'm happy for you. So, a photo was shared by Melanie Griffin, because she was a celebrity at the wedding. And she said in the quotation, "My dearest friends, Henry
Munoz
and Kyle Ferreira were married today by VP Joe Biden."
Ferrari.
Guys, you want to just keep slamming me?
I love you too.
And wishing them everlasting love and joyous life and journey. Just a reminder that back in August of 2016, Biden shared a photo of him officiating another wedding of Brian Moisteller, am I saying that wrong? Director of the Oval Office Operations, and Joe Maschi. So that was just in August last year.
That's awesome.
So he's out there supporting our community, and I fucking love him. He actually gave a speech at some commencement speech where he was just talking about humanity and loving one another for who they are, and maybe, you know, approaching this administration with a little bit of fear, but we have to approach it with love and like work through all the bullshit that's going to be presented to us.
Which I'm sure was 500 million times better than that piece of shit speech this dumbass president we have gave in our state of Connecticut 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well,
it was all about me. Yeah,
me,
exactly. No one's been treated more unfairly.
Yeah.
No politician in U.S. history. Yeah. When we already went over this, 4 were shot, and you know,
Kennedy assassinated,
Lincoln Garfield, assassinated, McKinley
gone, but nobody was treated worse than him. Fuck her. Anyway. Such a beautiful story. Anyway, I miss Joe Biden. You know what? That has got to be one of the best things that ever came out of the White House in a presidential role.
I want him to run so badly.
You know what? If Joe runs, he has my vote. I think so. He's a good man. He's an honest man. He has lost so much in the name of giving so much to our country. I think it is only fitting that we reward him, because he lost his entire family. His son recently passed away 2 years ago to cancer. That was Beau Biden. His wife and daughter died in a car accident as he was a legislator in our Congress. And he has grown up in the eyes of America. And he has been a legislator and a senator for more than most of our lives. And he's done such an amazing job that I think that if he were to run for president, he should get it.
Well, and you know what's amazing is so much has been taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
And what he continually does
for everybody else
is give love and support to the American people.
Yeah, and Jill, his wife Jill, she's also amazing too. I love that she takes care of our soldiers. She does a lot of like fundraisers and a lot of events to take care of veterans and people who have come back from our wars.
And one of the most inspirational quotes of Joe Biden is, quote, "I'm Joe Biden and I love ice cream." End yeah. quote. He's also a goofball. Don't forget that.
I miss the memes.
Yeah, those bromance memes were a freaking amazing.
But Obama, I never said that. It's a meme, Joe.
So I think we have one more story, and then we can probably bring it home. Look at that. I'm thinking we're going to wrap up on a reasonable time frame.
Wow.
What story is it?
Well, we have the two gay dads.
Oh, is it my airplane story? Okay, cool. Yes. All right, it's my airplane story. But I don't understand these airlines. Yeah, two gay dads and their children were denied, and one of the father's elderly mother, they were denied priority entrance to the airplane because they didn't consider them a real family. The fathers, who had been together for 26 years, were with their twin 3-year-old boys, a 5-year-old daughter, and one of their 83-year-old mothers. The boarding agent assertively approached them and said, "This is family boarding only." And my husband, and he responded, "We know we are a family." And they kept fighting and said that only one of the fathers can board with the children. So this person was not looking at them as a family. And what I don't understand with airlines is, like, how do they feel like they're so high and mighty? Kind of pun. Like, what puts them above us? Another pun. I'm done with my story.
What airline? What airline
was
this?
Southwest Airlines.
Another pun, right? Southwest. Goes to show you.
I just want to get those puns in there, really.
America. Listen to me. Southwest, American Airlines, United. What the fuck are you doing? You operate in the U.S. of A. Have some respect for the common decency of humans and treat them like people. And stop yanking people out of planes just because they refuse to give up their seat when you know they want to get home. Fuckers.
Well, and here's another thing, too, right? Like, this person who is saying this to this family probably does not speak for Southwest Airlines. He's probably just a bigot that was being an asshole at that gate. So my response would be, fire his ass. You better take some action.
Yeah.
Southwest better take some action. Or if I were these dads, I would sue the fuck out of Southwest.
What are people supposed to, like, if I fly with my mom and dad, are they supposed to carry their marriage certificate? Like, do you have to have proof of marriage to be like, and my birth certificate with your name signed to it? Like,
well, I mean, you also have to think about what happens in other countries too. Like, you remember, I think it was last year, we reported on a story of a man who went on vacation with his lover. His lover passed away. He had his lover cremated, and he was traveling with his lover's ashes. Yes. And they confiscated his lover's ashes because they did not believe in same-sex marriages where he was actually doing his layover.
What would they say to Mrs. Santa Fe?
What do you mean this train station can't get on the plane?
What do you mean I can't take the train station with me on the train?
Yeah,
no. So listen, we cannot wrap up the show without gay terms in our gender identity definition for the week.
Yes!
So we're going to need to have this girlfriend talk about those two, and then we can...
Wait, didn't someone try to fly on a plane with like 26 gallons of breast milk that she had frozen? Oh, that was when PA was on the show back then. I'll look it back up.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I don't remember that story, though.
Yeah, someone, she had like a ton of like frozen breast milk.
You know,
let her take it on the plane.
For someone who's lactose intolerant, you have a really big infatuation with shit that comes with milk. Just seriously.
Not out of them titties. Not out of the... Remember, I did say yesterday when I hung out with this girl that I used to hook up with in high school, she told me whenever she goes to parties, people are like, "You know you turned Chris Mattoon gay." And I'm like, "Well, honey, if you did, that's the best thing you ever did for anyone then. Thank you."
Were you breastfed?
Huh? Was I breastfed?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
know. Ooh. Oh, shots.
I got jello shots, though. Okay.
So, all right, let's go. What do you want to start off with?
All right, so as per usual this week, I'll start off with a gender identity term.
Yes, queen.
And this week is gender fluid.
Yes.
Gender fluid is a person who does not identify with a single fixed gender and expresses a fluid or unfixed gender identity. One's expression of identity is likely to shift and change depending on context. Oh, that's gender fluid.
That's you.
Hey, Nick, I'm not gender fluid, but you know who is gender fluid?
Who?
Potentially one of the bartenders we work with, but we'll get to that at a later date.
Yeah, we need to have a discussion on that. But yes. All right, so what's our gay term for the week?
Our gay term of the week was actually chosen by Ian Galligan.
Oh, Ian, thank you so much.
And it's sea legs. And it was we were trying to do something along the lines of the military branches.
Can I stop you right there?
Yes.
So you said the word sea legs, and immediately Jess over here smiled. What was that smile all about?
It was just a smile. I just think the term's hysterical.
Okay. All right. Well, continue, Trish.
So we wanted to stick with, some type of military branch. However, I feel like this is kind of a slap in the face, seeing as it's like we're supposed to be celebrating.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
just throw it out there.
I think this was our idea, and we're running with it, and we're excited about it. So in the late '60s, Sea Legs came about. Sea Legs, which is willing to do it Navy style, or enjoying a soldier's cup of tea. Now, we can all figure out what a cup of tea is, can we not?
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, I need details.
Maybe it's the cream in your tea. I don't know. Figure it out.
Well, in that case,
and then also,
I'll take a second cup, please.
It's also groaning with pleasure on deck duty, not to be confused with dick duty, deck duty, while singing the sailor's songbook.
That's right. I could thrill a girl or two, but I'd rather get it on with you. Ha, ha.
Ooh. Sea legs. Okay. Oh my God, that was amazing.
That was
I
good.
Really liked
Anchors
one. Good
away.
Job,
good
Ian.
Job, Ian.
Good Yay, job. Ian. Thank you. All right. So let's get through our announcements. Then we'll let Jess plug her show one more time, and then we'll ring it out.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So if you love our show, you can head on over to iTunes and rate us and leave us a review. This allows our podcast to become more visible within the Apple and iTunes ecosystem. You can also become a Patreon. Using this service, you, our listener, can help support our show with a pledge donation of as little as a dollar a month. It would help us greatly, and we would greatly appreciate it.
And next week, you get a fun-filled episode with all of our commentary on current nudes. We're going to be dishing the whole episode, and we're also going to do our shots before it, so it won't be as messy.
Yes.
And our listeners will be happy to know that they'll get a break from Trish. I will not be in studio.
I was
going to
use that as a surprise, but okay.
So Trish won't be in studio, but I am working on having a couple of people, well, one other person come join us to sit in while he's away. So hopefully it'll be a great show. I'm sure it will. We might even get surprised. You know, we're still waiting to hear on another guest, which I'm not going to say. And if it comes through, we might get her next week or possibly the week after. So
that would be wonderful.
Y'all going to have to just stay tuned for that surprise.
It's Karen Pence, isn't it? I knew she wanted to come on after we mentioned her. She wanted to come on.
No, it's Mike Pence. He's coming out of the closet.
Let's just say this. We've had her on the show before.
All right, so thank you to our co-show broadcaster, Jess Branas, for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Recording with us today with Drinks with Jess. It was great. So if you wanted to plug yourself or plug your show, now would be the time to do it.
I always plug myself. Everybody, you can go and find all the social media links, all the links to Drinks with Jess and the Dating Pool Podcast on dwjphl.com or the datingpoolpodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes, Mixcloud, and this show is going to be stellar tomorrow because I cannot wait to put this broadcast all together and have it on. You guys have been wonderful, and I want to thank all of you for having me on to have you on.
Thank you so much. All right, well, I think we can bring it home. Christopher,
shall we put a rubber on it?
Yes.
Alrighty, guys, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can also email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. Well, if you need to reach out to us for anything, you can head on over to our website and click on Contact Us at the top of your browser, where you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, you can submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. All you have to do is just dial 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need the numbers because you're on a vinyl phone, like Ian over here suggested. I was looking for the word the last time. He was like, it's final.
We're so close to closing the show. We're so close.
I know.
All right. Well, if you need the numbers, it's 334-429-8255. Don't forget that the show streams live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.